On January 31, 2024, national polygamy advocate Mark Henkel shares SCOTUS decision, Reynolds v. United States of 1878, Part 1. Hello, friends, supporters, listeners, and sharers. In the previous episode of this podcast, episode number 306 of January 24, 2024, I shared the recap of past episodes of the first two of the originating four steps of the government subterfuge of anti-polygamy laws, as well as the interim between the second step in 1862 and the third step in 1878. Rather than have me repeat that recap here, I encourage listeners to first be sure that you have already listened to the previous episode, episode number 306 of January 24, 2024, before listening to this episode here. The third step of the originating four steps is this: the Supreme Court decision of Reynolds v. United States of 1878. For reference, SCOTUS, S-C-O-T-U-S, SCOTUS, is an acronym for the Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS. The SCOTUS decision, Reynolds v. United States of 1878, involved a number of important details. For that reason, this episode here is the intro, the first of several following parts within this multi-part mini-series shared over the coming weekly episodes of this podcast. This intro and the subsequent parts of this multi-part mini-series are specifically and only for sharing the combined details of this Step 3, the Supreme Court decision of Reynolds v. United States of 1878. Whew. Now that we have that explained, let's begin, shall we? Great! Here we go! During the U.S. Civil War, many Southern states had seceded from the Union. Instead, they reorganized themselves into the CSA, the Confederate States of America. Leaving the Union included pulling their reps and senators out of the Union, which therefore meant that they were no longer being represented in the Congress of the United States of America. Essentially, those Democrats instantly had no more power in the U.S. Congress because they had left the Union. The result was the one-party rule of the new Republican Party. In the very beginning of the U.S. Civil War, that one-party rule of the new Republicans passed the first ever federal anti-polygamy law, the Morrill Anti-Bigamy Act of 1862. Knowing that the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution prohibited their federal involvement in any form of marriage in the states, that 1862 law committed the subterfuge by instead cleverly prohibiting polygamy, bigamy, only in the territories. They could do that because the Constitution does authorize the federal government to have jurisdictional management authority over non-state territories. Hence, the Morrill Anti-Bigamy Act of 1862 overtly and specifically only banned polygamy in the territories. They knew that that was their only means and method for committing that government subterfuge, the end run around to bypass the restraint of the 10th Amendment. Hence, Step 2, the Morrill Anti-Bigamy Act of 1862, banned polygamy only in the territories. A man named George Reynolds was a Mormon polygamist. He was found guilty of bigamy in the Utah Territory. He appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court the SCOTUS. Hence, his case was identified as Reynolds v. United States. Reynolds was appealing the lower court decisions for a number of reasons. According to the text of the Reynolds v. United States decision, quote, Mr. Chief Justice Waite delivered the opinion of the court. The assignments of error, when grouped, present the following questions. 1. Was the indictment bad because found by a grand jury of less than 16 persons? 2. Were the challenges of certain petit jurors by the accused improperly overruled? 3. Were the challenges of certain other jurors by the government improperly sustained? 4. Was the testimony of Amelia Jane Schofield given at a former trial for the same offense but under another indictment improperly admitted in evidence? 5. Should the accused have been acquitted if he married the second time because he believed it to be his religious duty? 6. Did the court err in that part of the charge which directed the attention of the jury to the consequences of polygamy? These questions will be considered in their order. Unquote. In the coming episodes of this podcast, I will share the 1878 Supreme Court's responses to those 6 questions. Throughout all of this process, we will be able to observe the obvious bias against polygamy itself, as well as the repeated reference to the means by which the government subterfuge was able to be accomplished. Namely, we will see the perseverated phrase, in the territories. So stay tuned. In the meantime, yet again, thank you for celebrating, supporting, listening to, and sharing the National Polygamy Advocate Podcast.
Mark Henkel is National Polygamy Advocate, presenting polygamy to the public since 1994. NationalPolygamyAdvocate.com.